Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Austin Peterson here, former presidential candidate for the Libertarian Party. Today is Monday, April the 17th. I hope you all had a wonderful Easter holiday. I know I certainly did. But before we get started with the show today, first, a message from our sponsors. As innovators in credit repair, My Credit Dreams helps clarify credit reporting errors. MyCreditDreams.com is fast, friendly, and efficient. No subscription is necessary, and there's a money-back guarantee in the contract. Visit MyCreditDreams.com or call 972-900-7777. Visit MyCreditDreams.com and schedule your free consultation today. Welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you had a fantastic weekend. I know I sure did. I spent a day down at the Liberty Tree Gun Show in Carthage, Missouri. They had some incredible deals on firearms. I actually picked up a couple of handguns myself while I was down there. As you know, Missouri is a constitutional carry state, which means that we don't need a license to be able to conceal carry here in Missouri, which is pretty fantastic, right? It gives real meaning to the idea that the only gun permit that we need is the Second Amendment. Hell yes. And I met some fantastic guys while I was down there, made some good friends. I was invited there by the owners of the store. And the gentleman who extended the invitation, a guy by the name of Chad Harris and the shop owner, Eli Bruton, who are both hardcore freedom-loving activists as much as myself. And it was really a good time. Got to meet a lot of people, shake hands. Quite a few people showed up and were like, hey, is Austin Peterson here? And they came in and chit-chatted, wanted to talk about the presidential campaign and take pictures. So that was nice. It was actually kind of funny because at one point, this guy walks into the store and he's got a big red shirt that says taxation is theft. And I think it was Eli or Chad was like, hey, are you here to see Austin? And he's like, yeah, for sure. He knew for sure that guy was there to see me because of the taxation is theft shirt. So it seems that liberty is alive and well in the state of Missouri, which is good because it's my home state where I was born and raised, as most of you know, born in Independence and raised on a horse farm in Peculiar, Missouri. And boy, let me just tell you, I got a beautiful gift for coming down there to speak to everybody from the gun shop. They gave me a gorgeous 1911 U.S. Army 1911 45 caliber made by Thompson Manufacturers, and it's my baby now. I'm pretty excited because honestly, I've always wanted a 1911. I'm a huge history buff, and obviously, if you guys know history, you know that World War One, World War Two, and for I think it was until 1986 the 1911 was in service in the U.S. Army. And it just shoots like a dream. So the first thing that I did, of course, on my way back from Carthage was to stop by the family farm and to give my gun a try, which it shoots beautifully. And it's just an absolutely wonderful firearm, which I'm definitely excited to be able to do some target practice with this week. So again, thank you very much to the Liberty Tree Gun Shop in Carthage. If you guys haven't heard about them, check them out. They've got a website you can find. It's Liberty Tree. And as you know, that Liberty Tree comes from the famous Thomas Jefferson quote, which is that the tree of liberty must be refreshed from time to time with the blood of patriots and tyrants. But hopefully it never comes to that. As somebody said on my Facebook feed yesterday, they're like, well, we hope that you never have to use that in self-defense. And myself as well, I hope that I never have to use it in self-defense. I hope that the only victims of my 1911 will be the paper targets that I set up. And boy, this thing is sure accurate too. And I had a great time shooting it, and I can't wait to do it again. So again, thanks very much to Liberty Tree for inviting me down to your event. I really appreciate the opportunity to come out and meet you guys and to talk to all of your customers and to help you guys with your event. And the next big event that you guys might be interested in, I'll be at Mercer University. I'll be at the Mercer University School of Law giving a talk. I believe that is on the 20th. Yeah, I fly down on the 20th, I actually fly on the 20th, and then I fly out the morning of the 21st. So I won't be in Georgia for long. So if you want to come see me, you can find this on the event page on my Facebook page. That's facebook.com/producerpeterson. Just FYI, Peterson is the Danish spelling, so it's not S-O-N, it's S-E-N. So if you go and type Producer Peterson, S-E-N, you'll find me on Facebook, and then just click on the events page and come out and see me at Mercer University. And I'm not quite sure why, but this event is really just gathering a lot of interest, not just from the local college, but from the press. Eric Erickson of The Resurgent has invited me to be on his radio show while I'm down there in Georgia. So I'm definitely going to make an opportunity to speak to Eric, who, if you don't know, he actually endorsed me for my presidential campaign, and I'm very grateful for that. So I'm looking forward to get a chance to talk to him in front of you all. And so keep an eye out for that as well. I'll make an announcement when that's going to be on so you can hear me and Eric talking about the news of the day. But speaking of the news of the day, there is a big story of interest to people in the Liberty community, people who care about limited government, because as you all know, we've known for years that one voice, one name has stood out amongst the noise to distinguish themselves as a thought leader, if you can call it that, in libertarian circles or conservative circles, or the Ron Paul movement, the Liberty movement in general. And that is the name of Alex Jones. And if you don't know who Alex Jones is, consider yourself lucky. I mean, there's probably no way that anybody who listens to the Freedom Report podcast, which, you know, has a relatively modest listenership compared to InfoWars or Prison Planet, there's probably no way that you haven't heard of them if you listen to the Freedom Report podcast, because they're just so much bigger than me. And, you know, I got to, you know, give credit where it's due. Alex Jones has built a multi-million-dollar empire out of Austin, Texas, with his conspiracy radio shows, talking about, you know, the news of the day. And it's been an interesting story, because how it intertwines with myself is that, you know, I consider myself very much a conspiracy debunker, right? I love conspiracies just because I like to solve puzzles, right? It's fun to, when you get a conspiracy like JFK or 9/11 or something like that, to sit down, and when somebody comes up with a wild conspiracy theory, it's fun to sit down and look at the facts and address it and try and determine whether or not the conspiracy theory has merit. Most of the time, conspiracy theories don't tend to have merit, so, because there's a difference between a conspiracy, which is an actual event, and a conspiracy theory, which is just someone postulating what might have been. And you know, the truth is that, of course, there have been conspiracies that have happened throughout history. And the reality is that conspiracies are much harder to hide than you think. Most of the conspiracies that exist are the ones that exist out in the open. I mean, I think that the Federal Reserve System itself is just one massive public open conspiracy, right, against our right to control our currency. You know, when you're talking about a conspiracy theory, like the concept, you start to get a little bit into muddied waters. And Alex Jones has made bank on peddling a lot of these conspiracy theories, things about like Sandy Hook, you know, the shootings in Newtown. And so there is an audience for these things, but there's not a whole lot of audience members who are interested in conspiracy debunking, which is what I like to do. And that's actually what kind of set me squarely in Alex Jones's sights several years ago. This would have been around 2010 or 11. No. Let's see. Okay, so yeah. So this would have been about 2012, because I participated in a public debate where it was me as a skeptic versus a conspiracy theorist, a guy by the name of Danny Penzella, and we were at this event in New Hampshire called Porkfest. And what it was we just picked three major debate topics, things to debate, and Danny took the pro-conspiracy side, and I took the debunking side of the conspiracy. And it was three major topics. We talked about 9/11, vaccines, and chemtrails. And I went through bit by bit to debunk the conspiracy theories surrounding all three of these things. Now, this is a dangerous thing for me to do. People say, oh, well, it's dangerous to say, oh, well, that the 9/11 was an inside job. It's dangerous to say that vaccines cause autism. It's dangerous to say that, you know, that the government is spraying us with chemtrails. But it's actually the opposite. We live in a very bizarro world situation where it's actually more dangerous to your career, to your professional life, to your political aspirations. Far be it from me to judge people who make millions of dollars, right? I mean, I know that Ron Paul did say that truth is treason in the empire of lies, but the fact of the matter is that it is, especially if you're a libertarian, it is much more dangerous to call these guys out on their BS than it is to spread conspiracy BS. And the reason is because this guy is so powerful now. Alex Jones is such a powerful force in the right-wing community, in the vast free market movement. He's such a powerful force there's millions of views and all that, that they can effectively squash anybody who disagrees. And certainly I remember the backlash that I received after I did this conspiracy debate, because Alex Jones came out and attacked me and, you know, said I looked like all of these very handsome celebrities, people like Justin Bieber and Leif Garrett, which I guess that was supposed to be an attack on me, right? He did this whole 10-minute rant where he's like, Austin Peterson, liberty champion, blah, blah, blah. And he was saying that I look like Justin Bieber and Leif Garrett from like the 1970s, which is, if you don't know, sometimes I'm called Leif Bieberson by the libertarian community simply because it's like an amalgam of what Alex Jones was making fun of me for, right? Saying that I'm a Justin Bieber lookalike, et cetera, which I definitely don't think I look like Justin Bieber. But that I'll leave that up to the audience to decide. But it's dangerous. It's dangerous. What I'm doing right now, just talking about this story that I'm going to read here in just a moment, it's very dangerous for me to do because this guy helped elect Donald Trump. I mean, he was instrumental in helping to get the next president of the United States elected. And Trump acknowledged this. Trump acknowledged absolutely the role that InfoWars and Prison Planet played. I mean, they're connected to Drudge. Drudge Report being one of the biggest websites in the entire world, and which frequently posts articles from InfoWars.com. So the Libertarian Republic and Liberty Viral, my websites, we suffer because we don't engage in the same kind of fear-mongering. We don't engage in the same sort of hypotheticals. Right? I demand that my editorial team adhere to journalistic ethics and rigor, right? You don't hear me very often on this live stream or podcast. You don't hear me very frequently making predictions. And the reason why is because you're almost always wrong, right? And I mean, look what happened to all of the left-wing pundits during the election, right? They were all, Hillary's going to win. I mean, so much so that I really thought Hillary was going to win, right? If I had to bet money on the last year's election, I would have bet that Hillary was going to win. And of course, I would have been proven wrong for that, right? So making predictions is, I think, a fool's game because, again, it's just kind of like psychic readings. When you make a psychic reading, if you're a good psychic reader, what will happen is that you get people to forget all the misses, right? Forget all the times that you were wrong, and they focus in on the hits. That's what people do whenever they're doing things like, talking to the dead, right? Crossing over, like those famous shows where they supposedly are mediums and they're in contact with the spirit world. But the way that works is that it plays on, all humans have this confirmation bias where we want to believe, right? You can believe anything if you want to believe in it. And certainly Alex Jones has made an entire industry, has made a bank on exploiting this willingness to believe, right? There's this willingness to believe because the way that the conspiracy mindset works is that a lot of people are bored, right, with their daily lives. When you listen to Alex Jones, it's a very exciting, very controversial, I'll give credit where it's due. I mean, we're going to talk about Alex Jones as a performance artist here in just a moment. He is a consummate performance artist, and from one person to another, I mean, my background is in performance art as well. I got to say, Alex Jones is a terrific performance artist. He's exciting. He's entertaining. He's hilarious, right? When he's ripping his shirt off on air, you know, he's smoking weed with Joe Rogan, right? Like that's performance art, and it's hilarious. So that's the thing. I think that's part of the reason why a lot of people listen to him, right? But you got to do what you think you need to do in order to get clicks, right? And the temptation is always there for anybody who's in my business, right? And again, it's the same business as Alex Jones, right? And people can say, oh, Austin, you're just jealous. Well, I mean, absolutely. Of course, I'm jealous of the huge following that he has, right? I would definitely love to have that big of a following. And maybe one day I'll get there. But the thing is with me is that I'm not willing to make predictions in order to do that, in order to satisfy your confirmation biases. And I'm not willing to engage in fear mongering or conspiracy theorizing, because I think it's important for us as libertarians to posit the facts, right? We should know what the facts are before we report them. And that's what's going to separate the Libertarian Republic and Liberty Viral from outlets like InfoWars or Prison Planet or whatever agency is out there spreading these kinds of conspiracy theories. But the story that came across my desk this morning, which I thought was very relevant and something that my listeners will want to hear, is a story that came from the Austin American Statesman. And it's about a lawsuit that's happening right now. There's a divorce proceeding and a custody battle between Alex Jones and his ex-wife for their kids. But what was interesting about this story was the fact that the argument being made by Alex Jones's own attorneys is one that I think you will all find interesting. Again, this is from the Austin American-Statesman. At a recent pretrial hearing, attorney Randall Wilhite told State District Judge Orlinda Naranjo that using his client Alex Jones's on-air InfoWars persona to evaluate Alex Jones as a father would be like judging Jack Nicholson in a custody dispute based on his performance as the Joker in Batman. Quote, "He's playing a character," Wilhite said of Jones. "He is a performance artist." But an emotional testimony at the hearing, Kelly Jones, who is seeking to gain sole or joint custody of her three children with Alex Jones, portrayed the volcanic public figure as the real Alex Jones. That's funny. That's just funny because that's his Twitter handle. But anyway, quote, "He's not a stable person," she said of the man with whom her 14-year-old son and 9 and 12-year-old daughters have lived since her 2015 divorce. Quote, "He says he wants to break Alec Baldwin's neck. He wants J-Lo to get raped." Quote, "I'm concerned that he is engaged in felonious behavior, threatening a member of Congress," she said, referring to his recent comments about California Democrat Adam Schiff. "He broadcasts from home. The children are there watching him broadcast." Beginning Monday, a jury will be selected at the Travis County Courthouse that in the next 2 weeks will be asked to sort out whether there is a difference between the public and private Alex Jones, and whether, when it comes to his fitness as a parent, it matters. For Naranjo, who has been the presiding judge of the 419th District Court since January 2006, it is about keeping her eyes and the jury's eyes on the children. Quote, "This case is not about InfoWars, and I don't want it to be about InfoWars," Naranjo told the top-shelf legal talent enlisted in Jones v. Jones at the last pretrial hearing Wednesday. Quote, "I am in control of this court, not your clients." But for Alex Jones, at the peak of his power and influence, what emerges from the Art Deco courthouse on Guadalupe Street might shape whether he comes to be seen by his faithful as more prophet or showman. Alex Jones is an Austin original who, 21 years after he got his own show on Austin Public Access Television, has become an unlikely popular and political force in the Donald Trump era. An ingenious and indefatigable conjurer of conspiracy theories about sinister global elites seeking to enslave the masses, who found, in Trump, a hero open to his shadowy narratives. Quote, "Alex Jones and his InfoWars umbrella of radio shows, YouTube and Facebook broadcasts, internet website, and tweets turned out to be Trump's secret weapon," Roger Stone, probably Trump's oldest and closest political confidant, wrote in his book, The Making of the President, 2016. "His fiery words have struck a chord in the nation, and he speaks for millions. In fact, more people follow Alex than watch Fox News or CNN. In addition to broadcasting his radio show on some 150 stations, InfoWars.com had 7.6 million global unique visitors between March 16th and April 14th, according to Quantcast, which measures web audiences, and ranked InfoWars.com 387th amongst all U.S. websites, not far behind Texas.gov, MLB.com, and PBS.org. The Alex Jones YouTube channel has more than 2 million subscribers and more than 1.2 billion video views. But Jones's most important listener is the President of the United States. During the campaign and into his presidency, many of Trump's most defining themes and questionable assertions either originated with or were popularized by InfoWars, such as Hillary Clinton for prison, Hillary Clinton is gravely ill, Bill Clinton is a rapist, President Barack Obama founded ISIS, the election is rigged, millions of immigrants voted illegally, the news media covers up terrorist attacks, the quote, "fake news media is the enemy of the people," and Obama spied on Trump. In December 2015, thanks to Stone, Trump appeared via Skype on Jones's show. Quote, "Your reputation is amazing," Trump told Jones. "I will not let you down." Since Trump became president, Jones has purported on air to be in regular direct telephone contact with the president, apologizing for not always being able to answer the phone when the president calls. Last week, Jones said that the president had invited him to Mar-a-Lago, but that he had to beg off because of family obligations. Recently, Jones faulted Trump for falling for the, quote, false flag that it was the Syrian government and not its enemies that deployed chemical weapons against civilians. But he says he understands the political expedience involved and remains hopeful that Trump will reclaim the anti-globalist mantle. Naranjo, meanwhile, said she had never seen or heard Jones on InfoWars until Wednesday's hearing. When Kelly Jones's legal team started previewing InfoWars videos it would like to play for the jury. The first clip was from a July 2015 broadcast in which Jones had his son, then 12, on to play the latest of some 15 or 20 videos he had made with the help of members of the InfoWars team who, Jones said, had taken him under their wing during summer days spent at the South Austin studio between stints at tennis and Christian camps. Quote, "He is undoubtedly cut out for this, and I intend for him to eclipse what I've done. He's a way greater person than I was at 12, said Jones, turning to his son. "I love you so much, and I didn't mean to get you up here, sweetheart, and tell people how much I love you, but you're so handsome, and you're a good little knight who's going to grow up, I know, to be a great fighter against the enemy." So far, this looks like good stuff, Wilhite said. Naranjo okayed it for viewing by the jury. But Bobby Newman, the attorney for Kelly Jones guiding the court through the InfoWars clip, was laying the groundwork for the argument that there is no separation between Alex Jones' father and Alex Jones' InfoWarrior. "This is the world he has planned for his kids," said Newman, quoting Alex Jones at a recent hearing, insisting that what he says on air is what he believes. Next up was a video of a recent conversation between Jones on Stone and Stone on InfoWars that quickly escalated into an expletive-studded gay-bashing rant by Jones directed at Schiff, the ranking Democrat on the House Intelligence Committee investigation of Trump's Russia ties, in which Schiff has suggested Stone and Jones might be entangled. Jones's rant ends, "You got that, you blank son of a blank? Fill your hand," echoing John Wayne's warning into True Grit to a man he's about to shoot and kill. Quote, "This is nothing but a response to a congressman who called him a Russian spy," said David Minton, another lawyer representing Alex Jones. Quote, "What possible relevance does that have?" Minton asked. "They want to throw the stench in the jury box and never get the stench out. It has nothing to do with parenting." A few days after his Schiff riff, Jones characterized it on air as a, quote, "clearly tongue-in-cheek and basically art performance, as I do in my rants, which I admit I do as a form of art. When I say I'm going to kick your blank, it's the info war," Jones said. "I say every day we're going to destroy you with the truth. Now, isn't that a bit of doublespeak? Like, here he is saying that what he does is a tongue-in-cheek art performance, but then he turns around and says that he's engaged in an info war and we're going to destroy you with the truth. Now, which is it, Alex? Jones's rhetoric is perpetually at a pugilistic fever pitch. Back in March, after Baldwin, playing Trump on Saturday Night Live, said he got his information on aliens from Alex Jones, Jones challenged Baldwin to a $1 million charity bout. Quote, "I'll get in the ring with you and we'll break your jaw. I will knock your teeth out. I will break your nose and we'll break your neck." When just after the election, Jennifer Lopez lamented about Trump at the Grammys, Jones responded that Trump, quote, "doesn't want to bring people in from Somalia where women are sold on slave blocks. Why don't you go to Somalia for 5 minutes, lady? You'll be gang raped so fast it'll make your head spin." Wow. Wow. Alex Jones using the "why don't you go to Somalia" meme there. Naranjo said she wouldn't allow the jury to hear the Schiff diatribe, but she allowed two other clips, including one showing Alex Jones smoking marijuana in California where it is legal. Naranjo didn't review the Baldwin and Lopez clips, and it's not clear whether Kelly Jones's attorneys will seek to include them in the trial. Now, this is very interesting. It goes on to talk about the big legal bills which are going on right now between the two. But the question here is one that we have to examine, which is, you know, is Alex Jones an actual believer in what it is that he's saying on his own show? Now, you have to be objective, right? So we're going to be objective here. We're not going to be like InfoWars or Prison Planet. We're going to try and give people the benefit of the doubt. Let's think of it like this, right? Let's try and play devil's advocate for a moment, and whereas Jones is the devil here and I'm going to play the devil's advocate. It's entirely possible that Alex Jones absolutely believes everything that he says. Every psychotic, insane, wild BS theory that comes out of his mouth. He may actually believe them, right? And what his lawyers are arguing that this is a performance art, that he's he's arguing that he's, in essence, he's arguing that he's behaving untruthfully, or that he doesn't really believe what he says. It's entirely possible that Jones's lawyers are making that argument simply for the fact that Jones wants custody over his own kids. That's entirely possible, okay? So we will give him the benefit of doubt on that one. However, the wife is arguing that he absolutely does believe what he says on his show, and he is a madman who is unfit to be the sole custody parent. And so, you know, if you play devil's advocate for Alex on that one, well, then you've got to play devil's advocate on the other side, right? It's entirely possible that Alex Jones's ex-wife is absolutely correct, that Alex Jones is a nutcase and that he is an unfit parent. Now, we don't know that, okay? So I'm not alleging that Alex Jones is an unfit parent. The simple fact of the matter is if you look at it from both sides, let's consider this. Would it make Alex Jones a more unfit parent if he actually believed what he was selling, right, what he was peddling? Or would it make him a more unfit parent if he didn't believe it, right? If he was a BSer, if he was a performance artist, if he was an actor, like he accused so many of the people who showed up to the shootings in Newtown as crisis actors, right? So he's in essence saying, his lawyers are arguing that he is what he has accused others of being, right? A BSer, a con artist in some sense. And so the problem with this is that when you start to use logic to deduce one or the other side, the simple fact of the matter is that either way, it doesn't appear as if Alex Jones is a fit parent, in my opinion. Now, that's just my opinion, and we don't know all of the legal details of this case because it's just today that the jury is being selected. But you have to ask yourself this. Look at it from both sides. Right or wrong, either way, this is very bad for Alex Jones, because if he really believes all of the insane crap that he says on his radio shows frequently every day, well, then he's definitely insane, and he's probably an unfit parent for that. But if he's a liar, if he's a quote-unquote performance artist, right? Truth is treason in the empire of lies. Doesn't that make him an unfit parent too? I mean, listen, it's not for me to say. It's for the jury to say. I'm just trying to use logic to try and deduce here what we're doing. We have to talk about this guy because he is politically relevant. This is a guy who, at least he claims, that he can't even answer all the phone calls that he gets from the president because he's too busy. So this is something of immediate interest to my listeners and to people, to this, what, the 7.6 million people who listen to Alex Jones and InfoWars. Now, again, I know a lot of these people, they're not going to sit down and do the same kinds of logical deductions that we do over here at the Freedom Report podcast. It's a lot harder to think and to try and make logical deductions than it is to say that the aliens turned my, you know, that Obama turned my frog gay with chemicals, right? So it's a lot more fun to engage in BS than it is in logic, because logic is hard and thinking hurts, and we all know that it's no fun to sit down and solve a math problem as much as it is to sit down in history class and postulate about you know World War II conspiracy theories, et cetera, et cetera. So that's the problem that we're facing here. Is the question is that, does Alex Jones believe what he says, or is he a performance artist? If I had to guess, if just based on all of the information that I have, I think that he is a performance artist. I actually think that Alex Jones, for the most part, doesn't actually believe what he's saying on his shows. I think that, like Tommy Lahren, for example, another perfect example of someone who probably doesn't believe all of the BS that she pushes, right? So I think that Tommy Lahren was probably always pro-choice. She just used pro-life rhetoric because she was on the Blaze and because she thought that it would get her more views and that it would be more provocative. And so think about that, because we live in an age now where provocateurs are the big thing, right? Alex Jones, Milo Yiannopoulos, Tommy Lahren, right? These are people who are saying, and in some ways, I think they're very much just saying what people want to hear. And people love conspiracy theories. I could see why. But one of the main reasons why I think people like to believe in conspiracy theories is because it's way more interesting than the truth. The truth is so frequently boring, ladies and gentlemen, because when you think about it, isn't it much more interesting to think that, you know, some evil reptile conspiracy is guiding Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama than it is to make assumptions that the reason for all of their failures is because of their ineptitude, right? And you should, and the truth is, here's a truth for you. Never attribute to malice what could easily be attributed to ineptitude. That's the problem with, in general, with the conspiracy mindset of government, is that the conspiracy mindset asserts that government is not only evil, but they're also capable of engaging in these vast conspiracies and then then covering them up. Which is not to say that InfoWars doesn't, that the blind squirrel doesn't find a nut, right? I have to give credit where it's true, where it's due. Every once in a while, the blind squirrels at InfoWars and Prison Planet will find a nut. They'll break news and they'll engage in something related to real journalism or reporting rather than just, you know, insane punditry about, you know, conspiracy hoaxes. So that does happen over there from time to time. And it's that. That is that confirmation bias that I was talking about earlier. People will focus on the hits and they'll ignore the misses. One of the major misses was that the Y2K crisis, right? This is 17 years ago. But 17 years ago, Alex Jones asserted that when the Y2K crisis happens, that Russia was going to start World War III, right? Which is so funny because now Alex Jones is accused by that congressman that he attacked, Schiff, of being a Russian agent, right? Essentially acting on behalf of Russia. And then 17 years ago, Russia was our biggest enemy and we were going to be invaded by the Russians because of Y2K, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, right? The narrative changes. Remember, folks, the narrative changes when you, the listener, wants it to change, when it fits your biases, right? And that's the big difference between a credible news outlet and a conspiracy outlet, right? So the truth is that for myself, for my belief is that Alex Jones is a performance artist, right? I've had a lot of people who used to work with him who have dropped out of working for InfoWars and Prison Planet who have been close to Jones and who have said that, no, he doesn't believe in what he's saying on air. So, you know, on the news of the day, if you're looking at it right there, you know, again, logically deduce this. If he's a performance artist, if he doesn't believe everything he's going to say, does that contribute to him being an unfit parent? Or if he actually believes all the crazy stuff he's saying, does that make him a more unfit parent? I think either way, Alex is in trouble on this one. And it's really going to come down to what the article went into more detail on, which I didn't cover, which is it's a question of money. Apparently, his ex-wife is drowning in legal bills from this, and they're trying to bleed her dry, and they're going to try and make this go out, you know, last as long as possible so that Jones can bleed or dry. And Jones has access to all of this, you know, cash that he gets from selling his super beta male prostate products, which is really what it all comes down to, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, you know, again, we as producers of content online, we have to make money, right? We have advertisers. You heard an advertisement in the beginning of this show, right? Advertisers that we get frequently can have an impact on how reporting can be done. It absolutely does. And it's up to you, the listener, to try and determine whether or not the money aspect is influencing or impacting how we report on things. I mean, here's a perfect example. Alex Jones and the fluoride conspiracy. This is another old conspiracy, right? That they're trying to rob us of our precious vital fluids. But it just so happens that Alex Jones sells water filters, right? So how convenient is it that he pushes a conspiracy that, you know, government is trying to poison us with fluoride, and he just so happens to sell water filters, right? So you have to look at these potential conflicts of interest. You've got to understand that often if you are one of these independent media outlets, and myself included, right, you can absolutely turn a jaded, a jaunted eye a jaundiced eye to me and say, hey, Austin, you know, do you have any conflicts of interest in your advertisers? Right now, I haven't been in business for very long doing what I'm doing, but I would invite you to ask the same question of me. I have no fear of scrutiny about such things because I do operate as transparently as possible about where I get my advertisers, how that money works. You know, again, we're not enormous, right? We're not making millions of dollars a year like Alex Jones. But if we ever do get that big, if the Libertarian Republic and Liberty Viral become these huge outlets and networks, then, you know, we'll be open to the same criticism as well. But that's something that you have to consider too, because you do it to the mainstream media, you should also do it to the alternative media as well. You got to ask yourself, does somebody here have a conflict of interest, or does somebody have something that's a little bit too convenient for them, right? So and advertising is getting very deceptive nowadays. It can become very difficult to determine, you know, whether or not someone has a conflict of interest in advertising, right? I'm not asserting that Alex Jones has a conflict of interest here. And, you know, again, because if he really believes what he says, for example, if he really believes what he says about the fluoride conspiracy, then it makes perfect sense for him to sell water filters. But if he doesn't believe what he's saying, right, if he doesn't believe that there is a fluoride conspiracy to poison us all, then the selling of the water filters is, I believe, is a conflict of interest. It is a problem because he's just making money on people who are so gullible that they believe what he says. And that's the problem. Is my concern is that people really believe what Alex Jones has to say. And I think that he is misleading. I think that he is saying things that aren't true. I don't think he really believes what he's saying. And here's the reality. And now I'm shielded from any liability from this because his own lawyer is now arguing that he is a performance artist, which leads to lots of conflicts of interest, ladies and gentlemen. If you ever listen to Prison Planet or InfoWars, then you and if you ever bought a water filter, you've got to understand that, at least in my belief, that Alex Jones probably doesn't believe that he probably doesn't believe that there is a fluoride conspiracy. So ask yourself this: why would you listen to somebody who has conflicts of interest out the wazoo, who is publicly claiming that he is a performance artist? I mean, is he, if he's lying about being a performance artist and he really believes what he has to say, well, I mean, you know, you've got to assume that he's just trying to lie so that he can be the father of his kids. That is a totally plausible scenario as well. But sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, you have to get introduced to the principles of logic. And the principles of logic, again, I think are way more fascinating. I think it's way more fascinating to determine what the truth is than to just make up BS about how the world works. Here's a perfect example of a logical tool that you can use when you're trying to determine whether something is true or not. It's a problem-solving principle called Occam's razor. And my audience tends to be fairly enlightened, right? I'm going to pat you on the head because I think that you probably know what this is. But for the people who have never heard about this before, you know, this probably the smaller amount of this audience, I'm assuming that you may not have heard of the Occam's razor law, which is they also call it a law of parsimony. It's a problem-solving principle that was attributed to William of Ockham, who was an English Franciscan friar, a scholastic philosopher, and a theologian. And his principle can be interpreted as stating, among competing hypotheses, the one with the fewest assumptions should be selected. Now, what does that mean? That means that the simplest theory, if you have multiple theories about how something works, then usually the simplest theory is the most likely candidate. In the scientific method, Occam's razor is not considered an irrefutable principle of logic or a scientific result. The preference for simplicity in the scientific method is based on the falsifiability criterion. For each accepted explanation of a phenomenon, there may be an extremely large, perhaps an even incomprehensible number of possible and more complex alternatives, because one can always burden failing explanations with ad hoc hypotheses to prevent them from being falsified. Therefore, simpler theories are more preferable to more complex ones because they are more testable. And that's really what we need to do when we apply logic, especially to the logic or the illogic of InfoWars and Prison Planet and Alex Jones. Is it more likely that Alex Jones really believes all of the crazy, nutty things that he says all the time? Or is it more likely that he doesn't believe it, that he's saying it because it's made him very wealthy, and that he's putting on a performance art, which he's his lawyer is now admitting to, and in a sense that he is deceiving the 7.6 million people who listen to him. And again, I understand why people do it, right? It's so much more fun. And the thing is that people, human beings, we all have this desire to think that there is some sense of control, right? This is why people want to believe in conspiracy theories. They want to believe in conspiracy theories because if you look at the world from a secular viewpoint, right? No magical thinking, everything's, if you have a totally naturalistic worldview, then in a sense, the world and the entire universe is a place of total chaos, where chaos reigns supreme. This makes people very uncomfortable to consider that we might be alone in the universe, right? That there might be no higher power, for example. The reason why people want to believe in something like a conspiracy theory, right? Or in sometimes in higher powers, the reason why people want to believe that is because it's terrifying to consider that no one is in charge, that no one is in control, that perhaps life as it exists on this planet is a spontaneous order of randomness, that as order that exists, as that life came from chaos. And so that is a very complex theory. That is a very terrifying. That's terrifying. And I think that the reason why most people believe in conspiracy theories is because it's more comforting. Even if it's a conspiracy for evil, it's more comforting for people to assume that at least someone is in charge. Somebody somewhere is listening, right? Even if it's the NSA, right? That somebody somewhere is guiding things, moving things along, making plans, and that somewhere, somehow, you as an individual fit into a plan. Because if you sit down and you look at it, then you don't believe in conspiracies, if you don't believe in higher powers, if you don't believe that someone somewhere is guiding human life or action on this planet, then that means that you are responsible for every action that you take in this whole world. There's no conspiracy to blame your problems on, right? Some people I've even seen who believe in like the Federal Reserve conspiracy as like, you know, something more malign than it ultimately is, which is the publicly open conspiracy. Like they blame the Federal Reserve on them being poor, right? And that happens actually quite frequently in the liberty community, that you'll see people who will blame the government and you know, a shadowy conspiracy as the reason why they're poor. Sometimes they're absolutely right when it comes to taxation or when it comes to government regulations. For example, Bernard von Nothaus, he's a perfect example of somebody who is poor because of the government. This is a guy who started up his own currency, the Liberty Dollar, and the feds called him an economic terrorist. They went in, they raided his assets, and they seized all the currency, and they shut it down. And so there you go. There's a perfect example of a libertarian who was actually put into the poorhouse because of it. But when it comes to the conspiracy thinking, right, it's even though, now again, I know this sounds counterintuitive and a lot of people are going to laugh this off, but the truth is that some people actually do find comfort, more comfort, in believing that there is an evil cabal, a conspiracy controlling things, the evil globalists, right, which is what Alex Jones accused me of being, but the evil globalists have control. It's more comforting to some people to believe that than to believe that no one is in control, that the world is ultimately just on the edge of chaos at any time, and that nobody really tells. And you know what? That's probably the truth. That's probably the truth. I say probably the truth because it's, you know, at any time the reptiles could show their true form, right, and turn all the frogs gay, and then I would become a believer. But it's, to me, I think that if you really want to get into to terrorism and conspiracy and fear-mongering here and stuff like that, I think it's much more exciting to think that no one is in control and that that's really what the free market is all about. Nobody is really in control. You're in control of your own life because theoretically you could walk out of your house right now. You're listening to this, or maybe you're in your car. You could get out of your car right now and park your car on the highway, start backpacking across America, and who's going to stop you? Nobody. Nothing, right? There's no reptilians to stop you from doing anything that you want to do, right? No one could tell me no. Beautiful anarchy exists, or it could exist if you accepted it. But this is not the world that we live in. The world that we live in is that 7.6 million people actively believe that somebody somewhere is in charge. And the truth is probably the opposite. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for listening to the Freedom Report podcast. This is one of my longer ones today, but I know you guys like these audio shows. You guys are driving to work. You got your commute. Maybe you're listening to me now on Facebook Live. Maybe you're listening to us later on the YouTube upload. Who knows? But if you haven't subscribed to all my channels, I would be very grateful. You can find me at AP for Liberty on Twitter. That's AP, the number 4, Liberty. I've got 3 exciting news items coming down the pike at you very soon. 3 big news drops that are going to be coming your way. I think you guys are really going to enjoy. So keep an eye out for those. Check me out at Mercer University. If you're not subscribed to me on Facebook already, give me a like. That's facebook.com/producerpeterson. Facebook.com/producerpeterson. That's all E's. 3 E's. No O's. Friggin' A. It's Peterson. Danish. Ja? Super. All right. Thanks so much for listening to the show. Ladies and gentlemen, you all have a wonderful day.